Welcome to the LDN Radio Show, brought to you by the LDN Research Trust. I'm your host, Linda Elsiegood. I have an exciting lineup of guest speakers who are LDN experts in their field. We will be discussing low-dose naltrexone and its many uses in autoimmune diseases, cancers, etc. Thank you for joining us. This show is sponsored by Mark Drugs, who specialise in the custom compounding of medications, assuring that the client gets the proper prescriptions for their unique needs and conditions. They work with practitioners, integrating knowledge and treatment of experts to create comprehensive health plans. Visit markdrugs.com or call Roselle 630-529-3400 or Deerfield 847-419-9898. Today I'm joined by Dr. Elliot Udell, who's a podiatrist. He's working from New York City and he has over 30 years of experience of pain, especially CRPS. Thank you for joining us today, Dr. Elliot.
Pleasure to be with you.
Thank you. Could you tell us, you know, what made you decide that you wanted to be a podiatrist?
Well, that's a good question. Many years ago, I was studying to be a biochemist, going for my master's, and my grandfather had a serious foot problem that was the bane of his existence. And it'd take him doctor to doctor, and the only one that was able to give him relief was a podiatrist, and in one visit. And I was so impressed with what this doctor did for him that I decided that's what I wanted to devote my life to.
Wow, that's a good story, isn't it? Good motivation to make you go down that
definitely.
Route. So, just on a personal note of podiatrists, I've got MS and I had 18 months in a wheelchair. And you know, you hear of people who manage to just get up and walk when they've been in a wheelchair for that length of time. Well, in my experience, that didn't happen. To walk was excruciatingly painful. It hurt the instep of my foot. You probably know what I'm going to tell you. And it was so painful to put one foot in front of the other because the pain in the bottom of my feet. Well, eventually I saw a podiatrist and he got me to stand with my hands on the wall because my balance wasn't very good. So I was standing with my feet near the wall with my hands on the wall and he ran his thumbs up the back of my legs near my calves. And I had standing still, I had no pain whatsoever. And then all of a sudden he pressed and he said, "Does it hurt here?" Well, the pain was unbelievable. It really, really hurt. And he said that I'd got to do stretching exercises because the tendons in my leg, in the lower part of my leg had shrunk, which then was causing the pain under my foot. But nobody was able to tell me that either. And it was just a case of, exercises. So I was very grateful to that podiatrist myself. So, yeah, amazing, isn't it?
Wow. Do you still have that problem?
No, luckily. No.
Oh, great. Wonderful, wonderful.
So is it unusual then to be able to stretch those tendons to stop the pain?
There is a new device out called the ankle Aquinas stretching device, which has been out for around 2 years, and it's made by a company out west in the United States. And what it does is you wear it for a half hour every single day, and it stretches out the back of the leg. And it really is the only device that's ever been invented that actually does that.
Oh.
And it's now commercially available.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's only available through podiatrists, but you might be able to get it directly from the company if you live abroad.
Wow. Well, this problem happened to me longer than 2 years ago, so it wouldn't have been invented at that point.
No. It came out around a year and a half ago.
Uh-huh. Okay. So CRPS patients, you know, very interested in that disease group or pain group even. Could you tell us a little bit about that in your practice?
Yeah. We see a very significant amount of patients with complex regional pain syndrome, used to be called RSD. And we have multiple different treatments that we use for them, all the different various medications. People have very, very severe pain. And we use the standard medications, such as the gabapentins and some of the antidepressants, and these help. And lately, I've added on low-dosage naltrexone. I've been doing that for the last year, a little bit more than a year. And I'm getting some really significantly good results as a result of it. Mm-hmm. I'm very, very happy with that.
Wow. And Dr. Pradeep Chopra wrote a paper on CRPS.
Right.
You're aware of that, are you?
Yes, I read that paper.
Yeah. I mean, it's quite amazing how people can have such bad, severe pain where their joints are twisted, you know, their feet are bent round because of the pain and they can straighten out. I just find that absolutely mind-blowing. So when a patient comes to you with chronic pain, how do you go about treating them? You know, do you bring in LDN at the beginning or do you do other things first?
Generally, we use a combination of different therapies that we've been very successful with, a combination of various physical and medical modalities, such as interferential therapy. We use H-wave, which is another form of therapy, hydrotherapy. We use cold laser or light therapy as well. And we find that a combination of these in combination with various medications, so that we do use gabapentin and we titer it up to the amount that the patient can, number one, tolerate and reach, the therapeutic levels of where it works. And we use some of our antidepressants as well in combination. And then at that particular point in time, if nothing else is working, we will add on the low-dosage naltrexone. We do find that low-dosage naltrexone, for most of the patients that I've been seeing in my practice, doesn't cure the disease, nor does it completely eliminate all the symptoms, but it does take it down at least two notches, so that, for instance, if a patient tells me that, Dr. Udell, with all my medicines and everything, out of a 1 to 10 scale where 10 is the most painful and 1 is the least painful, I'm at an 8. After they take the low dosage naltrexone at the 4.5 milligrams, we keep them on, it generally will go down, let's say if they had an 8, it'll go down to a 5 or a 6. Now, you might say, well, that's only 2 or 3 points. For these people, that's a very, very significant improvement. And like I've said to some of these people, well, you still have the pain. Do you want to stop the medicine? They say, oh, no, definitely. And they do, refill it. Because it is a very significant improvement in their lives. I mean, it makes a difference for them being able to be functional even with pain or non-functional because the pain is too severe. So we have a lot. And then we've had some other side benefits with no low dosage naltrexone, which have absolutely baffled my mind. I can't explain it. I had one patient who came in, and we were treating her for diabetic neuropathy, severe pain associated with diabetic neuropathy. And once again, she was on all the other medications given to her by another doctor, and she was still in severe pain. And her glucose levels were out of control. So I put her on the low dosage naltrexone. And I hadn't heard from her in a while. So I figured, well, look, maybe the medicine wasn't working. She gave up hope. Never came back. Came back around 3 or 4 months later for a refill. He's only giving people like a 3-month supply. And I asked her, how was it doing? She said, not only has it alleviated her diabetic neuropathic pain, but her sugars improved to the point where she was never able to have a normal hemoglobin A1C level, and then when she started taking the low dosage of naltrexone, to the total bewilderment of her endocrinologist and all of her other doctors, her sugars now basically reverted to normal. Now, she has a certain type of diabetes caused by autoimmune disease, It's not the same. I wouldn't recommend everyone with diabetes to rush out and start, you know, buying low doses naltrexone. But for this particular type of condition, which caused her diabetes, and actually the low doses naltrexone converted her back to normal blood sugar levels, which I was happy with. And I'm not treating her for diabetes. I'm a podiatrist. I'm still treating her for the foot pain. But she's very happy across the board with everything that's been doing it for her.
Mm-hmm. So did the foot pain go?
Yeah. She's gotten the complete control now mm-hmm. with the foot pain.
Oh, wow.
And then that was a case of where it went from, let's say, when it went to 10 as an 8, went down to 0, mm. where she has no pain at all while she's taking the low dosage naltrexone. Now, she is taking some other medicines as well, but now she's completely happy, which is, I'm happy and she's happy.
Mm. Well, that's an amazing story. I actually met a doctor several years ago now, who both his wife and his daughter had MS, and he'd got them on LDN and they were doing really well. And he said to me, I was thinking to myself, this LDN, there might be more to it than I thought. This was years ago, maybe 2005, 6, somewhere around about there. And he said, I thought I would try it on myself because I'm a diabetic and I have terrible pains in my feet. I have, neuropathic pain.
Neuropathic pain.
And he said it it's so painful it hurts to walk. And he had tried the LDN and he had relief within weeks. It was amazing. Yeah. And he said, his pain also stopped. So he was delighted. He was absolutely delighted.
Yeah, we've had that result. I mean, I've only had one case of one patient who it didn't help. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why. It may have been the titer, it may have been other things going on with him physiologically. But it was the only patient I've had that has had no relief. I mean, as I say, every single patient I've used this for severe neuropathic pain, whether it be Cripps pain or diabetic neuropathic pain, have gotten significant result relief. And they're happy. I mean, they're happy to the point where they go ahead and they refill the prescription. And in this particular geographic area, that medicine is not covered by insurance. And they have to go to compounding pharmacies, and they're willing to pay for it. And if it wasn't helping them, they wouldn't be paying for it.
Mm-hmm. So with the opioid epidemic and doctors trying not to prescribe the opioid medications, do you think that there is a place for LDN to assist with pain?
Yes, big time. I mean, especially here in the United States, where there's a tremendous, tremendous impetus by government authorities to reduce the use of opioids for the treatment of chronic pain. Low dosage naltrexone, along with other medicines such as gabapentin and Lyrica and some of your antidepressants, are a good combination to use in lieu of opioids.
Mm-hmm.
Bringing up the issue of opioids, that's one of the side effects, unfortunately. Some of my patients with Cripps do come in and they are on opioids already. And because naltrexone in its higher dosages of 50 milligrams are used predominantly to control opioid addiction, I sometimes have to back off on the low doses of naltrexone on patients who are already taking opioids because there is a possibility that it can cause opioid withdrawal. So I do in those cases work with some pain management doctors who are trained in the management of opioid withdrawal, and we both treat those patients together.
Mm-hmm. Okay. There are some doctors now, pain specialists, who are using LDN with opioid medications, but they make sure there is a period of time in between both, so you don't have both in the system at the same time. So it's
at the same time. That's interesting.
I just don't want people to go out and think they can do it themselves. It has to be monitored by your doctor, and you have to work it out, you know, when you're going to take the LDM, when you're going to take the opioid. But there is also a growing movement with ultra-low dose naltrexone, where they're using it to get patients who are addicted to opioids off without having the awful side effects or withdrawals, by using, you know, a very low dose like 0.001 and right. increasing it slowly. And they found that the efficacy of the opioids, it boosts the opioids. So they were able to reduce the amount of opioids because of the LDN. So then they gradually would increase the ultra-low dose naltrexone whilst decreasing the opioids, and they were managing to get patients off the opioids altogether without having any side effects or withdrawals. It's amazing. So that is something.
That is amazing. There's a tremendous amount of work being done with this. Mm-hmm. But I, being a podiatrist, I don't treat opioid addiction in my practice. So when I'm dealing with patients with who are on opioids, I generally work with another doctor who's more trained in the area of the management of opioid withdrawal, especially, so that if a patient does go into opioid withdrawal on naltrexone, they would know how to handle it. That's out of my scope of practice.
Yes, and this is what I'm saying about patients shouldn't do it themselves. You know, it should always be monitored.
They must be monitored, but by a physician who's has training in that area. Mm-hmm. Not every doctor does.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, in the United States, we're now seeing a case of where many, many physicians are not renewing their licenses to prescribe any form of opioids. So first of all, it's extremely expensive to renew that part of your license. And a lot of doctors are saying, well, they don't want to prescribe opioids anymore for chronic pain. So why even have a license to do it and have to pay $700 or $800 a year for that license? So a lot of doctors are actually not even prescribing opioids at all.
Wow.
And they're looking for other medications to manage their patients with chronic pain.
Okay. You were saying that you prescribe Lyrica and gabapentin alongside of LDN. Have you found that patients can reduce those medications once the LDN has got into the system and working well? Or do you keep them on the same level?
Okay, at this point in time, I've been able to use LDN as an add-on medication. And I haven't reduced their dosages accordingly because the patients are not completely pain-free. Mm-hmm. They're markedly improved and extremely, extremely happy and grateful for the use of this medication, but they're not completely pain-free, so I don't go ahead and reducing anything at this point in time.
Okay. So do you treat any other conditions as well?
Well, I treat all foot conditions, anything involving the foot, especially involving foot and ankle pain, such as plantar fasciitis, gout, and others. But I find that the LDN works most effectively when we're dealing with neuropathic pain, whether it be CRPS, chronic complex regional pain syndrome patients, or severe diabetic neuropathy or other forms of painful neuropathies. Those are the ones who get the main benefit from LDN. I'm extremely grateful for the use of this medication. It's really, really helping these people.
Mm-hmm. Have you tried it on any patients with gout?
No. Gout is really, you're dealing with a different type of pathology there. You're dealing with basically a foreign body reaction to uric acid, crystals in a joint, causing a very, very severe and a very, very acute inflammatory reaction. So these people need a different class of medications entirely, and such as steroids, injectable steroids and other medications and your nonsteroidal anti-inflammatory drugs. So these people really need really, really heavy medications and injections initially when they present with a severe attack.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at this point in time, I haven't considered the use of LDN for that particular condition. Now, obviously, research shows that it's effective. I would consider changing it to adding it on. At this point in time, I would use other medications instead.
Mm-hmm. I had gout when I was in my 30s, and I thought it was only something that old people got who drank too much.
Yeah, normally it's much older people, yes.
I think I've had a couple of episodes since, and it was I don't know whether you always get gout in the same place, but it was on my right foot, sort of where you would have a bunion if you were going to have a bunion, in that joint there.
That's the standard location for some reason, but it can affect any other joint.
Okay. But it was very, very painful. It was very, very painful.
Extremely. They say it's the second most painful condition a person can get.
And I was given anti-inflammatory tablets for a period of time, and then after a few weeks, luckily, it went.
Yeah.
I think somebody said to take some vinegar, apple cider vinegar in hot water or something. I did that as well. I was prepared to try anything because it really did hurt. It really did hurt.
Right.
And then a few years later, it came back, which was annoying. But I think, as I say, I've had it like three times, and I hope I'm touching wood here that I don't get it again. But is it something that once you have had it that you're prone to getting again?
Especially if your uric acid levels are elevated. The way we treat and manage gout is, number one, we treat the acute episode initially with injections of steroids, of cortisone, and put the person on a strong anti-inflammatory initially in combination with that. And then once the attack is under control, we take blood tests to determine the level of uric acid in their bloodstream. Now, if a person has elevated uric acid levels above 6, the recommendation is use various medications combined with diet to try to get the uric acid levels under control. Once we get that under control, over a period of time, a person shouldn't have any further gouty attacks. But it could still happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you still may need to see a podiatrist immediately if you're getting a gouty attack to have that under control right away. We can take a patient who's in severe pain, who's coming in with crutches, and they'll leave the office immediately completely pain-free from a gouty attack. Podiatrists are, as podiatrists, we're all trained to do that.
Mm, that's amazing. And you mentioned diet there. I mean, diet is very important for whatever condition you have. If you're just going to eat fast food, obviously your body isn't going to get all the nutrients that it needs. Not that we probably get all the nutrients from our food these days. But what are the foods that help with gout, if anybody's out there listening who suffers with gout?
No, that's a very good question. I lecture about this at podiatry conferences all over the United States in terms of the management of gout. And the topic of food triggers comes up, constantly. Now, the old foods that are the main triggers of gout tend to be red meats, red wines, and hard cheeses, and seafoods. However, that does vary from person to person. We've had some patients who will tell me that they ate lobster and they had an attack the next day. I used to have one patient who used to eat steaks, and he knew that whenever he ate a steak, he was going to either wind up in my office or at 3 o'clock in the morning in the emergency room of our local hospital, and I would have to come in at 3 o'clock in the morning and see him in the hospital. And he knew it was related to that steak. And I finally had to tell him, I said, I can't be coming into the hospital every week to see you at 3 o'clock in the morning And he wouldn't let anyone else treat him either. I mean, because he knew that my injection therapies were very, very good, he wouldn't allow any other doctor to touch him. Well, I had to make an agreement with him and saying, look, I said, if you're going to have a steak, I'm not going to come in and see you in the middle of the night in the hospital. So he finally reached an agreement that he was going to cut out that food. But for other people, it could be hard cheese. And for other people, it could be clams. So we, as part of our practice, we'll keep track of what foods trigger what patients in terms of causing an acute gouty attack. But if we get their uric acid levels, I mean, there are new medications out for controlling uric acid levels that are really fantastic. And we find that when we get their levels under control, they really don't have very many attacks, and they can sometimes cheat, sometimes eat some of the foods that they're not supposed to be eating.
So we know that more women than men suffer with autoimmune diseases, but what about gout? What population does that normally affect?
In my particular practice, I see men and women coming in with gouty attacks. I would say probably more men than women, but that's my particular locality, and that can obviously differ. I don't have the national statistics with me in front of me right now. You know, you can probably Google it and look it up. Once again, it's a condition caused by elevated uric acid levels in the bloodstream, and our goal is to reduce the uric acid levels over long term. And when we do that, where patients are fine, you know, they do well.
And you were saying that being in your 30s was quite young to have gout.
We've seen it, but it's unusual. Mm-hmm. Normally, we're seeing people in the 40s, 50s, and 60s who are presenting with gouty attacks.
Right. That's very interesting, isn't it? Now, what area do you cover, as in locality? Just people in New York, or do people come from further afield to see you?
I'm in Lyle in New York area. However, I make myself available in terms of anyone who wants to send me an email. If anyone has any questions about foot problems, I do field questions over the internet. I can give you my my email address. Mm-hmm. I'm willing to answer anyone who has any further questions, and hopefully refer them to a podiatrist in their local area.
Okay.
I do a lot of referrals to other podiatrists nationwide.
Mm-hmm. Oh, great. So we know that your website is www.drudell.com.
Yes, sure.
Can they contact you via your website, or would you like to give...
Yeah, sure, they can do that, or they can. I can give you my email address, which is ELLIOTU at AOL.com. Once again, it's ELLIOTU at AOL.com.
Mm-hmm.
I do ask that anyone contacting me about a medical issue do put in the subject that this is a medical question for Dr. Udell, because as with many of us, we get 1,000 spam mails a day, and I just batch delete them unless I recognize that's an important email.
Mm-hmm.
So but I will respond to everyone, and even if a person doesn't live in my immediate geographic area, I will try to find them a podiatrist in their local area who does the same type of things that I do.
Well, I think it's amazing that you can go in with gout and walk out without it. I mean, that is amazing.
Every podiatrist is trained to be able to do that.
Wow, I honestly never knew. So I shall bear that in mind. So if the patients are close enough to come and visit you in person, do you have a waiting list?
Well, we can generally get a person in, especially if they're in pain, within a week.
Right. Oh, that's wonderful. Well, we've run out of time, and I'd like to say thank you very much for being our guest today.
Thank you very, very much for having me.
Oh, thank you. This show is sponsored by Mark Drugs, who specialise in the custom compounding of medications, assuring that the client gets the proper prescriptions for their unique needs and conditions. They work with practitioners integrating knowledge and treatment of experts to create comprehensive health plans. Visit markdrugs.com or call Roselle 630-529-3400 or Deerfield 847-419-9898. Any questions or comments you may have, please email me, Linda, L-I-N-D-A, at ldnrt.org. I look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for joining us today. We really appreciated your company. Until next time, stay safe and keep well.